arrive here at a critical moment.
Hello, I'm Dan Brown.
And I'm Brandi Crawford Eryou.
We are the TV BFFs, and this is a podcast about the TV shows that people love most. Welcome to a quick turn, instant reaction to the 2023 Emmy nominations. A lot to talk about here, Brandi. How are you feeling?
So much to talk about. Number one, I don't think that I have ever been as excited for a roster of nominees as I am for this year.
Right.
I mean, I think it has a lot to do with the fact that like so many shows that I love are like getting the recognition that they rightly deserve. But also like there's just so many people that have been nominated that I'm just like, yes, this is right. Like you guys, I think that you heard.
Right.
And that you're reacting. And by I think you heard, I'm talking to the Television Academy, of which I am a part.
We have a member.
I love that. I actually feel like people who are really, really good are being recognized, and that just makes me so happy. So yeah. I'm stoked to talk about all of the nominees and all the things today.
I'm equally as excited. However, we can't dive in without mentioning the incredibly strange time in the industry in which we're recording. We're recording mid-July, July 15th, the SAG-AFTRA strike is just days old now. The Writers Guild, the WJ strike, is a couple months old now. We stand with the writers. We stand with the actors. We stand with the industry workers who deserve fair pay. And it's weird because this is an incredible roster of shows to talk about that were made by these writers, these actors, these craftspeople. But also we're talking about a bunch of shows that might not be celebrated at an actual ceremony because of these strikes. Like this might just be totally like press release comes out and here's who won. So it's weird that there is such an exciting list of shows that we're about to get into, but it's happening at a time unlike any other time we've seen in the industry. It's very, very strange.
No, very strange. And honestly, so ironic.
Yeah.
The reason that I'm so excited and so happy for all of the people that were nominated is because of their creativity and their talent as people. Mm-hmm. And one of the big things that both the WGA and SAG are fighting for is so that they aren't overtaken by AI, that AI isn't doing their jobs. And I think that like, if anything, these shows and this particular Emmy show should let everyone see like loud and clear, like we need real people doing things. We can't have what we had with this group of nominees.
Yeah.
With AI writing the scripts and VR subbing in.
Right. Exactly. You're not getting these performances because you scanned someone's face one time and only paid them once and then used their likeness in The Bear or Succession. Like it just doesn't happen. That's not how it works. You need human experience to render performance. You need human experience to write these scripts with any ounce of feeling or lived experience. And AI just can't do that.
Can we please just pay them? Like,
yes.
I think of how much I'm paying to like all the millions of streaming services that I subscribe to in addition to cable. So I know y'all got the money. So right. Talking from a consumer standpoint, I'm okay if you're using like my $9.99 a month for Disney Plus that keeps raising, I don't know, every 2 months to pay people.
Yeah, yeah. And it's wild because you think from the outside looking in, oh, the entertainment industry, it's shiny, it's rich, there's money changing hands and writers must be rolling in it and actors especially must be absolutely loaded. And why are these millionaires complaining and striking? And really, an actor making $27,000 a year can qualify for insurance under SAG-AFTRA benefits, and only like 13% of the guild qualifies. Like 80, like some crazy number doesn't even make that much a year. So it's not rich people complaining. It's even richer billionaires hoarding is what it is, and not shelling out fair prices and fair compensation for the people that are doing the work.
I know. Thanks, Bob Iger, for making me not like you anymore. Let's talk about all of the wonderful creativity and amazingness that this batch of Emmy nominees is giving us this year.
Yeah. So here's how it's gonna pan out. So this is the TV BFFs podcast. We talk about shows within the context of the BFF criteria. Of course, that stands for best, favorite, and forever. Today, we're going to do it a little bit different. We're going to go through each category. Instead of doing a should win, will win, we'll kind of loosely do a best fave. This was the best nominee in our opinion. This is our favorite nominee, is kind of a different way to talk about some of these things. We'll start with a quick chat about some snubs, although there really weren't very many, which is an exciting development here. We'll talk about some unscripted stuff first. That's, you know, kind of our home field advantage, if you will. Brandy and I are both unscripted TV development and programming execs. So we'll start with what we know best. We'll get into the limited category. We'll do some comedy, and then we'll end with drama, the big stuff. So let's start. Snubs, I only had a couple, Brandy. One huge one, which I'll save for last, but I would have liked to see more love for The Traitors in unscripted competition. I fucking love that show. Bad Sisters got several nominations in acting, writing, directing, and casting, but nothing in best drama, you'd think. And there's some shows that can maybe be bounced from that list. We'll get to it. Reservation Dogs, constantly ignored. One of my favorite shows, ignored really again. Atlanta, season 4 was fucking exceptional, and I can't believe that didn't get any attention or any love.
Hmm. I don't like, I definitely agree so much about Atlanta and Reservation Dogs. I didn't see A Small White or Bad Sisters, and I am going to watch The Traitors. If you guys listen to our best of this year, both Dan and Darren love The Traitors.
Yes.
And yes. Convinced me that I should take a look. So I will be watching. I honestly thought that this past season of The Challenge was really good.
Oh my God, sure. I mean, we're always gonna cape for The Challenge.
I'm just gonna go ahead and put that out there. Like one day will be nominated for an Emmy, and I'm here for it.
Exactly. Yeah, and then I put a small light. I haven't seen it either, but after some chatting with some of my coworkers and colleagues, a lot of people really loved A Small Light. It's a story about the family that hid Anne Frank.
Mm-hmm.
And there's one limited series nomination that I think is absolutely bonkers and batshit. So I put this on the list because I think there's a clear one that could be swapped out. We'll get to that later. Final snub before we jump in. And this one really hurts me.
This one cuts Dan to the core, guys.
It's unfortunately an underwatched show, so I understand why it's not represented here. But God damn it, Industry on HBO needs more love. Season 2 was fucking phenomenal, as was season 1. No love for anybody. That needs more eyeballs, needs more attention. We need to get behind Industry a little bit more, friends. I'm calling you all to action.
Well, you know, maybe now that Succession and Barry are off the table, HBO can give a little bit more PR and promo love.
Give it a bit more push. I agree. All right, what do you think? Do you want to get into it?
Yeah, let's get into it. Let's talk Perfect. Some Emmy noms.
All right, so we'll start with the unscripted nonfiction. So our first category here is the best documentary or nonfiction series. We have Dear Mama on FX. That's the Tupac Shakur doc. 100-Foot Wave on HBO. Secrets of the Elephants, Nat Geo. The 1619 Project on Hulu. And the U.S. and the Holocaust on PBS. Now, I'll say that I haven't seen all but one of these shows, but the one that I have seen, I absolutely adore and am obsessed with. So for this one, it's very simply my best and favorite is 100-Foot Wave on HBO, which I just binged. I just caught up, and Garrett McNamara is my king, and I hope the show wins.
Full disclosure for me, I also have only seen one of these, and that is the 1619 Project, which it's really tough for me to say that is a favorite.
Sure.
I think it was really, really well done.
Yeah.
You know, I bought the 1619 Project children's book for my kids, and I'm so glad that we have it, because I do think that it's, you know, we need to know. I wish that I had something like that when I was little like them. But it's tough, guys, when you get to the page that's like the white men came and stole them. And my kids are like, what? They're like, so daddy stole us? I'm married to a man who's half white, half Japanese, everyone. I was like, no. I was like, the people who stole are not here anymore.
Right. Well.
But I want to hear about 100-Foot Wave, because I was hearing, I've heard tale of this, but I wasn't sure what it was. Like, I actually didn't know it was a series. I thought that it was just like a doc.
Right. So the quick pitch is picture like a 30 for 30 about big wave surfing, but with incredible characters that demands a longer series. So it's two seasons. This is the second season that's nominated. They're each I want to say 6 episodes. So it's not a long watch, but it's fascinating. It's about a group of big wave surfers who find this location. This guy, Garrett McNamara, who kind of pioneers going to this place called Nazaré, Portugal, that has like literal 100, like approaching 100 foot waves. It's like the craziest break you've ever seen. And it's about these like thrill seeking adrenaline junkies and their huge teams of people, their families, and like the gigantic effort it takes to marshal Mother Nature to try and get these big waves and people get hurt. And it's wild and it's fascinating.
That sounds so terrifying, but also like really cool to watch, especially if you have a nice big DVD.
Oh, it's gorgeous. It's a gorgeous show. It's so good. Let's pop to the next one.
Yep.
Best hosted nonfiction series or special. The Light We Carry, Michelle Obama and Oprah Winfrey on Netflix. My Next Guest Needs No Introduction with David Letterman on Netflix. Stanley Tucci, Searching for Italy on CNN. Taste the Nation with Padma Lakshmi on Hulu. And United Shades of America with W. Kamau Bell on CNN. Some really good shows here. I'm probably between... I haven't seen the Obama and Oprah.
Mm-hmm.
Stanley Tucci is a good show. But I probably am going hard for Padma this year for a number of reasons.
I think for me, I should have seen the Michelle Obama Oprah Winfrey show. I feel like a bad black woman that I have not watched it since I love them both.
Oh, Brandy, you're not doing the work. Okay. You're not doing the work.
Like, what am I doing? Why am I just going straight to Love is Blind when I go to Netflix? I also love Stanley Tucci. So for me, it's a toss-up for favorite between Stanley Tucci and Padma. Mm-hmm. But best, I'm going with, I think the best made show on this is The United Shades of America with W. Kamau Bell. Love that show.
He just doesn't miss. He's so good.
Yeah, he's so good. It's great.
Yeah. Speaking of Padma, best host for a reality or competition program, our next category, we have the Queer Eye Five, Bobby Caramo, Tan Antony, and JVN. We have Nicole Byer for Nailed It. Those are both Netflix shows. We have Padma Lakshmi, Top Chef on Bravo. Amy Poehler and Maya Rudolph for Baking It, which I believe is NBC. And RuPaul for RuPaul's Drag Race. For me, it's best favorite forever. Padma Lakshmi, Top Chef, final season, send off.
And honestly, knowing that this is her final season, she's got to get it. I love Nicole Byer so much. So I think I will go with the best and a favorite here. Best is Padma, favorite is Nicole. But sure. I want this for Padma. It's her last hurrah.
Nicole will have more swings of the bat.
Yeah,
I think Nailed It will be back for sure.
And RuPaul wins every year. So
RuPaul wins a lot. Yeah, absolutely. That brings us to best reality competition. The Amazing Race, a lot of blue chips here. The Amazing Race on CBS, RuPaul's Drag Race on MTV, Survivor on CBS, Top Chef on Bravo, The Voice on NBC. Interesting here, because it is like a very, old school list, but this is Survivor's first nomination since 2006, Brandy.
Are you serious?
Shocking. Yeah.
Okay, yeah. I feel like maybe I just get Survivor and the Amazing Race mixed up. I assume that Survivor was always on this because it does feel like a very old school list because it's kind of the same shows every year.
Yeah.
What's usually there that isn't this year?
Well, last year, Lizzo's Watch Out for the Big Girls was on this list. And I think this year I probably would have bumped either Amazing Race or The Voice. I mean, I just feel like those are just like... lather, rinse, repeat, copy, paste.
Can we just get rid of The Voice? Like, I don't even know anybody that's been on the Amazing Race. It's like, whatever. I feel like it's hard to compete with CBS because guess who's got TVs and is still watching them, guys? The elderly.
The olds, exactly.
And what did they love? They CBS. Love some CBS. It's like, oh, I'm sorry. Were you born pre-1955? Turn it on channel 2.
But yeah, get The Voice out of here. This is where the traders should have slotted in my opinion, but. They can't get it 100% right, They can't bet 1,000. Okay, now we get into some of the shows, a couple of categories that you and I will hopefully be competing in someday soon. These are more of the shows that we develop. Best structured reality program, which to us basically means best format. Antiques Roadshow, PBS, speaking of Blue Bloods.
Speaking of shows that have been on the list since the category was invented.
I believe so. Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives on Food Network, another unassailable format. Love is Blind on Netflix, Queer Eye on Netflix, and Shark Tank on ABC. I mean, these are just a bunch of bulletproof formats. I'm probably leaning, I don't really have a dog in this fight. You take it away, Brandon, because I know you have some passionate opinions here.
Listen, I just want to say, like, from the jump, like, I feel like I've said that Love Is Blind should be getting an Emmy, like, for as many times, as many seasons as it's been on. Listen, was this past season the best season of Love Is Blind? No. But did this past season show that this show knows what it's doing with its casting and that the format, it's like the format is bulletproof. Mm. Okay. Mm-hmm. It's so good. It feels unique, which in 2023, it's really hard to find a dating show format that feels unique and not just completely ridiculous.
Yeah.
It's like, yes, Love Is Blind is ridiculous, but you also kind of get it. Like, it makes sense. It's so simple. That it's like, how has this not been a show before? But like, Love Is Blind, Ride or Die. But also, I have to say that all of these formats are very like unassailable. But I think that the best format on this list has got to be Shark Tank. But my favorite and what I want to win is Love Is Blind.
Yeah. And listen, I love him, but I can't have Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives winning this category. Mm-mm. It already rates so well as to make it impossible to pitch a travel show to Food Network. If it starts winning awards on top of that, like, we're doomed. So,
and also just like, yes, it's a good format, but like, is it? Do you know what I mean? It's so simple, but like, it's just like, okay, he's going to go to three different restaurants. We might have, the episode might be themed, probably not.
Well, what's interesting is like, he should really get more love for best host, because what they don't like, he should be in this best hosted nonfiction series or special, really, mm-hmm. right? Because it's a hosted show.
Yeah.
So I feel like maybe that is a little bit of category fraud, because the show is, it's Guy, right?
Yeah.
Like, you're not going for the format, you're going for the host, so that it's being nominated in a format category is a little bit weird to me. But anyway.
Yeah. Okay.
Brandy, you should take this next one.
Oh, okay, guys. Next up, we have Best Unstructured Reality Program. So that's just going to be like, you know,
your docufollow,
your housewives, your docufollows. Like, these are super fun. We've got Indian Matchmaking on Netflix, RuPaul's Drag Race Untucked on MTV, Selling Sunset on Netflix, Welcome to Wrexham on FX. And guys, where did you hear it first? You heard it here first from the lips of Brandi Crawford. Vanderpump Rules on Bravo.
Let's go.
I don't think that I even need to go any further with my best and my favorite, because here we are. Here we are.
You called it.
I called it. I have gotten side eye from everyone when I have said this. And I was like, mark my words, Vanderpump is getting nominated for an Emmy. This last season was gold.
Yeah.
And they did everything right. We had the scandal of all of it all happened, and the way that the producers immediately went in and got that.
Cameras like, up, motherfucker.
Cameras up. Like. We like how the cast gave. And I feel like what this season of Vanderpump Rules, it really showed what, you know, unstructured reality, like this docufollow, like how it can be amazing. And how it can be amazing is when you have real people having real emotions and being great on camera.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't, it's like lightning in a bottle when you can get it. And they got it.
They got it. I mean, I'll weigh in just to say, like, I thought Welcome to Wrexham was really great. I'm fairly surprised to see it nominated, if I'm being quite honest. But I had a lot of fun. That's the Rob McElhenney, Ryan Reynolds bought a football club in Wales docu-series. It's more about the town in Wales, Wrexham, which was super, super cute, super fun. But yeah, I think this is probably one of the more straightforward, like, I don't think it's close. I think Vanderpump wins.
Vanderpump's got to win.
And if this were to be a televised ceremony, I think it would help the ratings. I think there'd be a lot of who's going to be there, who's going to accept if they are there. Like, it's a bit of a shame that this year of all years likely won't have a ceremony, because it'd be a lot of fun to see that group kind of squad up for the Emmys.
I mean, I'm already, the memes that I'm seeing of like, so Jax Taylor hasn't been on the show, and I think this was his first year not being on it. Maybe it's been 2 years. And there was a meme being like, how long till Jax says we won an Emmy? And I can't wait. Like, he's 100% going to be at the ceremony. That's why I need a ceremony, because I need to see like who makes the cut of who gets to come.
Right. Exactly. All right. With that, let's switch categories here. Brandon, do you want to keep going with the categories? We're going to move over to the limited and anthology series.
All right. So next up, we've got Best Supporting Actress in a Limited or Anthology Series or TV Movie. Annalee Ashford for Welcome to Chippendales. Maria Bello for Beef. Claire Danes for Fleischman is in Trouble. Juliette Lewis for Welcome to Chippendales. Camilla Marone for Daisy Jones and the Six. Niecy Nash-Betts for Dahmer, Monster, the Jeffrey Dahmer story, and Merritt Weaver for Tiny Beautiful Things. Of these, I've only seen Beef and Fleischman is in Trouble. I tried Dahmer, but like, it's just tough for me.
Yeah.
With those serial killer ones. It's like, listen, I love a true crime show, but like.
A serial killer one again.
And it's
we've been there. Mm-mm. Yeah. I don't think Dahmer is getting much love from us going forward, and that's fine. I haven't seen Tiny Beautiful Things, so that probably won't get much love from either of us just because we haven't seen it. I did see Daisy Jones.
Mm-hmm.
Liked, not loved, but I will say Camilla Marone was probably one of the best parts of that series, so I like seeing her represented here. I think that's super fun. I did not see Chippendales. It got a lot of love, though. I feel like maybe I should. Like Chippendales is the one show that I'm like, okay, maybe I'm missing something here. I might need to go back and check it out.
I don't even think I realized that it was a drama thing. I thought that it was one of the A&E like Secrets of Playboy type shows.
It is kind of, but it's like there's murder. There's murder. So it's like a true crime type thing. I think this is hands down Claire Danes's.
This is Claire Danes's award.
Yeah. So I'd probably go best Claire Danes favorite Camilla Marone, but I think Claire wins this, especially with that, because I'm sure she submitted that stand kind of like that standalone. What was her character's name?
Rachel.
Like the Rachel story episode, which was just, just Claire Danes doing Claire Danes shit.
I love Fleischman is in Trouble. I love like the New York of it all. I don't love shows about white women having to deal with murders or like mysteries, right. But I love a show about a rich white woman having a rich white woman problem.
Right. Especially in New York.
Especially in New York.
Exactly. All right. What do we got next?
Next up, we've got Best Actress in a Limited or Anthology Series or TV Movie. So Lizzie Kaplan for Fleischman is in Trouble. Jessica Chastain for George and Tammy. Dominique Fishback for Swarm. Katherine Hahn for Tiny Beautiful Things. Riley Keough for Daisy Jones and the Six. And Ali Wong for Beef.
Loved Ali Wong. Ali Wong was great.
Ali Wong was great. For me, this is going to be between Ali Wong and Dominique Fishback.
Which was so fun and surprising to see. Like, I'm not sure Swarm. Seeing her on here, which Swarm, good, not great. Kind of a tough watch, but she was just mesmerizing is the center of that series. So, and this gives Donald Glover a little bit of representation, even though Atlanta was shut out. He produced this show, so. Yeah, I'd probably go best Ali Wong favorite, either Dominique Fishback. I liked Riley Keough and Daisy Jones in the Six, but I don't think she should win. Lizzie Kaplan, I liked. I just didn't love her character, so it's hard for me to root for her a little bit. But that might mean that she did a great job.
Yeah, no, I think that she did a great job. Her character, so I read the book as well, and her character is just much better in the book. Like, and not because she didn't do a good job, but just because, like, she had to, like, in the book, you can read what's on her mind. You know what I mean?
Sure.
And in the show, she needs to, like, you know, she needs to show that. And I think that that was harder. So a lot of, like, her motivations in the show is just, like, why she's so sketch. But you get more on it if you're reading it. You know what I mean?
Gotcha. Okay.
But I did think that she did a good job. I really love her. I think she's great. But I think that probably Ali Wong is going to win this, which I think it would be totally fair. But
I think so too. Yeah. And that's what I'm pulling for.
But Dominique Fishback, like, she did if we're like acting here, like, she did a great job. I feel like Ali Wong was just playing like a heightened version of herself.
Yeah. Yeah.
But Dominique Fishback, like, wow. What was her name in that? Like, she was so creepy.
She was really good. Yeah. She was really good. Let's move over to actors.
Yeah. So Best Supporting Actor in a Limited or Anthology TV This is such a mouthful of a category.
It really is.
And like, I'm not sure that I even like a TV movie or like, so it's like, right. I'm going to judge like your 2-hour performance or like your 10 episode performance. Like, that's weird.
Right.
Anyway, Best Supporting Actor in a Limited or Anthology Series or TV Movie. Murray Bartlett, Welcome to Chippendales. Paul Walter Hauser for Blackbird, Richard Jenkins for Dahmer, Monster, the Jeffrey Dahmer story. Joseph Lee for Beef. Ray Liotta for Blackbird. Young Mazzino for Beef. And Jesse Plemons for Love and Death. I don't know. I mean, I could go with whoever.
I mean, I've only seen Beef.
I think I want the Beef guys.
On this list, yeah.
Love and Death was, I watched like one episode of it. Like that story, I watched the Jessica Biel.
You watched Candy, yeah.
Yeah, and it's just, I just don't really think it's that interesting. Like the story itself infuriates me because I can't believe that she got away with it. Sorry, spoiler alert, but it also is the real thing that happened that if you Google it, you'll find out. So relax.
Yeah, and I guess people are saying that Elizabeth Olsen was snubbed for her performance in that. So that's a little interesting. I think I'm pulling for the Beef boys as well. Specifically, yeah. Young Mazzino is the brother Paul. I thought it was a really great breakout performance and would love to see that recognized. But then again, like even though I haven't seen Chippendales, I'm sure Murray Bartlett was awesome because he's always awesome. So he's like, you know, Ray Liotta is always fucking awesome in one of his last performances. So like I could see this going any number of ways.
Yeah.
What's next?
All right. So next up, we have Best Actor in a Limited or Anthology Series or TV Movie. Taron Egerton for Blackbird. Kumail Nanjiani for Welcome to Chippendales. Evan Peters for Dahmer, Monster, the Jeffrey Dahmer story. Daniel Radcliffe for Weird, the Al Yankovic story. Michael Shannon for George and Tammy. And Steven Yeun for Beef.
Steven Yeun. Best favorite.
Yeah, best favorite.
Take it home. Take it down.
We're done here. Although, like, I could have a little bit of love for Daniel Radcliffe.
I haven't seen it, but it looks wild.
It's wild. I've seen a few scenes, and I actually heard an interview with Weird Al talking about it, and I will watch.
Hard to watch because it's on like Roku or something.
Yeah, but I feel like it's coming to like Amazon Freebie or something.
Who knows?
Yeah, TV's don't quote me on that. TV's, guys.
We'll come back to Freebie in a minute.
Yeah. Okay, so next up we have Best Limited or Anthology Series. But like, why is this not Best Limited or Anthology Series or TV Movie?
Well, TV Movie has its own category. So actually, before we do Best Limited, we can touch on that real quick. So Outstanding Television Movie is Dolly Parton's Mountain Magic Christmas, Fire Island on Hulu, Hocus Pocus 2 on Disney Plus, Prey on Hulu, and Weird, the Weird Al Yankovic story. So there it is. So
let's give this to Fire Island and call it a day.
Fire Island. Although I did just watch Prey last night because I was like, I knew we were recording today and I didn't have time to like do a show, but I'm like, what's something on this list that I haven't seen that I could just do as like a one-off? And it was Prey. Mm-hmm. And it was really good. It's like a prequel to Predator. It's like 300 years ago, Native American community encounters the Predator. And there's this, the one, gosh, I'm blanking on her name. I need to pull it up. The lead actress was really great. Amber Midthunder was excellent.
What a great name.
Yeah. And like a full native cast, which was really awesome. It's like you see all these actors in it and it's like, or a TV movie and none of them come from TV movies. Like where's Bowen Yang? Where's Joakim Booster? Where are these incredible performers from these TV movies? But anyway.
All right. So then we've got Best Limited or Anthology Series. For that, we've got Beef on Netflix, Dahmer, Monster, the Jeffrey Dahmer story on Netflix. Can you guys just shorten that?
It's the last time we have to say it, I promise.
Yeah. Daisy Jones and the Six on Prime. Fleischman is in Trouble on FX and Obi-Wan Kenobi on Disney Plus.
Randy.
Honestly, yeah. Dan, when I saw this, I was like, Dan Brown is going to have words.
Yeah, and they're not good ones. What the fuck is this doing on here? Honestly, this might be the biggest miss on this entire nominations board. Like, Obi-Wan Kenobi on Disney Plus. I don't know if it has any other nominations. I haven't dug that deep, but certainly not any, like, big nominations. I don't know what it's doing here. Especially with only, like, if this were an 8-slot category, like comedy or drama, okay, maybe. But this is where it's like, where is a small light? Where is...
Welcome to Chippendales.
Welcome to Chippendales.
Blackbird or any Blackbird. Of these other shows where the acting was nominated.
Yeah, like Tiny Beautiful Things. Like, yeah. There's other nominated shows that feel like they make more sense here. Pick any number of them. Obi-Wan Kenobi shouldn't even be invited to the ceremony, like, as a viewer. I don't know what the fuck it's doing here.
That was paid for.
Yes, paid for by...
like, that was a budget line.
Yeah. in between complaining about strikes, Bob Iger paid somebody off to get Obi-Wan Kenobi in here. Like, yeah. What the fuck are we doing? Yeah, weird one. That said, for me, Beef is the best of this list, I think, hands down. I liked Fleischman. I didn't love it. I think Fleischman was better done than Daisy Jones, but I had more fun with Daisy Jones. I think the way you were talking about, like, the way you liked being in that representation of New York, I liked being in that representation of, like, 70s rock Fleetwood Mac inspired vibes. Like, that show was just all vibes, and the vibes were immaculate, even though it wasn't the best thing I've seen. So I'd probably go Beef best, Daisy Jones favorite, but Beef should really win.
I'm gonna put Fleischman as my favorite, mm-hmm. and Beef is the best. But I also, but I just like I said, I love the New York of it all, and Fleischman is in trouble. And it just, it reminded me of, like, the movies from, it reminded me of, like, 90s movies set in New York that, like, were part of what made me want to, like, move to New York, and, like, aww, kind of formed, like, my idea of, like, what New York is.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Let's pop over to our next one. We'll do some, well, let's get a little bit comedic. So best talk series. We have The Daily Show with Trevor Noah, Jimmy Kimmel Live, Late Night with Seth Meyers, The Late Show with Stephen Colbert, and The Problem with Jon Stewart. I love The Problem with Jon Stewart. Incredible staff, incredible writing team. Jay Jordan, one of my all-time favorite comedians right now, writes for that show. I also love Seth Meyers. I think he always puts on a great show and doesn't get the proper due. So I'd probably go best Jon Stewart, favorite Seth Meyers. There is an interesting omission here that we'll get to in a minute, so it kind of clears the lane for someone to actually win in this category who's not a British guy on HBO.
Well, I feel, to me, this was a category where we got a snub, because I need to know why I'm not seeing Z-Way here on Best Talk Series.
Yes. Oh my God. That's an incredible point.
It's a great show. I love how she plays with the format of a talk show.
Yeah.
And she's amazing.
Yeah.
It's so entertaining. And I think it's one of the best. So I think that's my biggest snub, as we were talking about snubs earlier. But if I had to choose something from this, I'm probably going to go Daily Show, just because I feel like I know so many people who work on it.
Yeah. And also Trevor's last season.
And it was Trevor's last season.
Trevor's last season. That's a really good point as well. Shout out to Christian Banda, who was involved in that season.
Yeah.
That brings us to Best Scripted Variety Series, which is experiencing a bit of a shakeup. So last year, there were only two nominees, and those two nominees are represented here again. Those are A Black Lady Sketch Show on HBO and SNL Saturday Night Live on NBC. The new ad, which makes sense because it is not a talk show. They don't have guests. It is fully scripted. So I appreciate the clarity here. Last Week Tonight with John Oliver, which has swept the last several seasons. Like, it wins in its category. So it'll be interesting to see it go against SNL, who also has a habit of sweeping in its category. So we kind of have two heavy hitters battling. Meanwhile, the sneaky third, which may be the actual best show of the three.
Yeah. Black Lady Sketch Show. I'm so happy to see it here and getting some love. It was the last season, but it was one of those things where we didn't know it was the last season until after it was over. And now it's like, oh, it's the last season. But it's such a good show, such great writing, such great performances. It's so hilarious. I want it to win. I feel like it's a literal dark horse.
Right.
But I would, you know, listen, I would love to see Last Week Tonight knock SNL off its perch here. But I would love to see A Black Lady Sketch Show just, like, really just come in and dominate. That would make my life.
It would be honestly really, really fun. It'd be really fun.
Like, that to me would say we've arrived and that people are really, like, voting on, like, you know what I mean? It's just like,
that is true diversity. Exactly. Yeah. Right. It's no longer a pleasure just to be nominated. We got to start winning some fucking things.
Yeah, exactly.
And if you're wondering why I think You Should Leave with Tim Robinson is not represented here.
I am wondering that and was going to ask.
It is represented just in a different category because those episodes are so short. It's up for outstanding short form comedy, drama, or variety. Against some interesting competition, like a bunch of just, like, web series, basically, like Awkwafina's Hanging with Grandma, Better Call Saul Filmmaker Training, Carpool Karaoke, Only Murders in the Building, One Killer Question. So, like, a lot of, like, weird spinoff stuff. So I hope Tim Robinson sweeps up and just takes that category. That'd be great.
I've just started watching I Think You Should Leave, and I cannot believe that I am only just now starting to watch
right?
it.
Right? It's such your
what vibe. A delightfully weird, crazy.
Yeah.
My new favorite line is people can change. People can change, guys. People
I just love the guy in the hot dog suit. We got to find out who did this. classic. All right, let's keep rolling into the longer form comedy series here. We're going to do the acting categories a little bit different. We're going to go actress, but we're going to kind of ramp up from guest actress, supporting actress, best actress. Then we'll do the same with actors. So best guest actress in a comedy series, we have Becky Ann Baker from Ted Lasso, Quinta Brunson, SNL, when she hosted, Taraji P. Henson in Abbott Elementary, Judith Light in Poker Face, Sarah Niles in Ted Lasso, Harriet Walter in Ted Lasso.
Wow. So can we just talk about the fact that Harriet Walter is in this game twice?
Yeah, right. Because she's Caroline, the mom on Succession. She's also Rebecca's mom, which is why we see her here in Ted Lasso. I will go ahead and say I didn't love the final season of Ted Lasso. I will not be giving it a lot of love as we talk about its numerous nominations today. A little bit bewildering to me, and I think to several others. I don't think its winning streak will continue. But then again, like, it submitted the series finale, you know, for consideration. So I don't know. Maybe it will. Who knows? But that said, shout out to Judith Light on Poker Face. Poker Face not given a lot of love this year for a really fun show. But for me, it's got to be Quinta Brunson, who hosted a great episode of SNL, or, strangely enough, Taraji P. Henson, who played Quinta's character's mom on Abbott Elementary and just came in with so much heat. I think she fucking rocks, and I would love to see her win.
Yeah, I'm down with either one of them winning. I think for this particular category, let's give it to Taraji. And you know, because Quinta should be winning for like lead actress.
But I don't know, that lead actress category is so stacked. Maybe this is where Quinta wins and Taraji will, like, she'll be in stuff. You know what I mean? She's like, this is not her last nomination, but because it's always fun to see the person, because also like the lift of hosting SNL is such a big one that I love seeing people rewarded for doing a standout job. We'll get to another one of those performances in a bit here. So I'd probably go best Quinta, favorite Taraji.
Yeah. And her Quinta's SNL episode, I mean, the bridesmaids sketch, get out of here.
All right. That brings us to best supporting actress in a comedy series. We have Alex Borstein for The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel, Ayo Edebiri for The Bear, Janelle James for Abbott Elementary, Cheryl Lee Ralph for Abbott Elementary, Juno Temple, Ted Lasso, Hannah Waddingham, Ted Lasso, and Jessica Williams for Shrinking. A lot of fun in this category.
What Brandy. A stacked category.
What
this
the
is.
Fuck? Now it's getting difficult.
This is the point.
This is the inflection point.
Oh, wow.
Let's start on the top. Alex Borstein has been awarded in this category before. We love that performance. We love that character, but I think it's time to pass the torch.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, agreed.
For me, I love Juno Temple on Ted Lasso. She's one of my favorite parts. And Hannah, like, their relationship actually keeps me coming back to that show and kept me in. So that was fun. But one of my favorite surprises was seeing Jessica Williams on this list. Her character in Shrinking is so fucking good. Her rapport with Harrison Ford, who was, some are saying, was snubbed for his performance. I wouldn't have been surprised to see it. But Jessica Williams, I don't know if she'll win. Maybe as that show has more seasons, but love seeing her. But for me, it's probably between Ayo for The Bear, and we're talking about The Bear season one, and Janelle James, which is just, she is just hands down the best part of Abbott. So I don't know what to do here.
It's so tough for me because, like, I'm between Janelle James, Shirley Ralph, and Ayo. I love Ayo's performance in The Bear as Sydney. She's amazing. And it's so tough because, like, Abbott Elementary is like a true comedy.
True classic.
It's a sitcom. And you kind of get it. The Bear is so much more complex. And I'm not saying that to shade Abbott Elementary being a comedy at all, because I think it's really smart. I think that it's layered. And I think that there is a complexity there. But at the end of the day, it's about the jokes.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And The Bear is not about the jokes. The comedy in The Bear comes from just like where characters. Comedy comes from in real life.
It's the characters.
Yeah. Just like people joking around, people's responses to things. Like, it's not like, that's not the driving point of the story. Mm-hmm. So I feel like in that respect, like, Ayo's like, there's so much more for her to do. Do you know what I mean?
Especially in season one, like, Sydney really stood out. I think she's probably maybe the most memorable. I mean, Cousin Richie stands out as well, and he's very memorable for different reasons, but Io's performance really stood out to me. I think she's my best. And then it'll be between Janelle and Jessica's favorite. I'd be happy if any one of those two won.
For me, Io, 100% the best. I think that she's who I want to win, but like, I will also be just so stoked if Janelle James wins.
Yeah. All right. That leads us to Best Actress in a Comedy Series. Christina Applegate, Dead to Me. Rachel Brosnahan for Maisel. Quinta Brunson, here she is again, for Abbott Elementary. Natasha Lyonne, potentially being the most Natasha Lyonne ever in Poker Face. And Jenna Ortega in Wednesday.
Well, what makes me so happy about this category is seeing Jenna Ortega's name on here.
Yeah.
And not because I think that Wednesday was like such a fantastic show,
or
but I think
super comedic. Let's be
or super
let's,
comedic.
Let's be real. Like,
I mean, it's I feel like it's more comedy than drama. But what I love about Wednesday, which like I really enjoyed, watched all of it. I love that it was. It reminded me of the TV that I grew up with. It reminded me of something that you would see on the WB. Which for those of you who don't know, it's what the CW used to be back in the day of the late 90s, early aughts. And it just like it's just a simple show that is just I don't know. Like, I feel like we don't get enough shows like Wednesday. Like everything has to be like just so, you know, cerebral and highbrow. And like, I've got to be thinking of this and this can mean this and this and this. And I feel like Wednesday was just like. No, guys, like she's super weird. Her roommate and her are complete opposites. And like, there's like this kind of mystery in town.
Yeah. See, I liked Wednesday. I have a different take, which is I think we see a lot of shit like Wednesday, which to me is kind of like a toothless, meh IP reboot, which I'm just like, okay. But then again, I wasn't a huge Addams Family person. That's not a core thing for me or my childhood or my, you know, TV or movie nostalgia. So I didn't have that instant connection with it. I watched it. I liked it. But to me, it was just entirely forgettable. Like I watched it. It was done and I never thought about it again.
Oh, I thought it was like really cute. And, you know, honestly, the whole Addams Family of it all, because it's like, it's not like I'm a huge, I wouldn't say that I'm an Addams Family stan. and that wasn't why I went to it. I mean, yeah. I really just went to it because like Netflix is, it's like if they put your show in, it's the first thing you see when you turn it on, like probably going to at least look
there
at the trailer.
Is.
You know what
yeah.
I mean?
Yeah.
I don't know. And maybe it's because like I don't end up watching a lot of the toothless shows maybe.
Yeah.
You know what I, like the newer ones.
Yeah. And I mean, and I guess though, maybe this is coming at the heels of watching so much mid TV IP bullshit that it just kind of felt like it just slotted in. While I will admit that it is much better than I think almost every single Marvel show that I've seen, except for WandaVision and Loki, and maybe a couple others, it'd be close, but like maybe it just kind of got sucked into like the IP of it all with those other shows. I'm just like, oh, another one of these, another 8 episodes where like, do I really care what happens? Not really. Like, I don't know.
But honestly, like this whole conversation is moot because the winner of this particular category has got to be Christina Applegate for Dead to Me.
Thank you. Bring us back around. Bring us back around.
Yeah. This was Dead to Me's last season. It was amazing. Christina Applegate was so good. She is going through some real, you know, health issues with having MS. And like, she was battling this through the last season. And the way that they kind of wrote that struggle into her character so that like they were really working with her, you know, like so she didn't have to move around a lot, just how they were shooting her. Like she did so great. Linda Cardellini, I'm really sad to not see on here, but I'm guessing it's because she would have also like she and Christina Applegate would have been up against each other.
Split the vote. Yeah.
And you don't want to split the vote. And like Christina Applegate is this is for her.
Right.
Like,
I mean, it might
so,
be her
so good.
Final role, at least for the foreseeable future. So,
yeah, I think it is. I think she's done.
Yeah, I have no problem. I haven't seen Dead to Me, but I love Christina Applegate in basically everything I've ever seen her in. So, no problem giving it to her there. Brosnahan has won for Maisel before. Quinta will win again in the future. Natasha will be back. Jenna will be back. So give it to Christina. I have no problem with that.
Yeah.
Let's pick up the pace a little bit in these next couple. And I think also, but we're kind of arguing for the comedy as we go. So once we get to best comedy, that one will be probably a little bit more straightforward. But let's go to acting. On the men's side of things, we have best guest actor in a comedy series, John Barenthal for The Bear. Again, this is season one, so that was that one flashback scene. Luke Kirby in The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel, Nathan Lane in Only Murders in the Building, Pedro Pascal for SNL, Oliver Platt for The Bear, and Sam Richardson for Ted Lasso. Real quick, Nathan Lane and Oliver Platt, I sometimes get them confused in my mind. Sometimes. Not always, that's but just every once in a while, like their faces will swap. You know what I mean?
What?
Sometimes. It's a weird thing. But like everyone, because they're so different. And when you hear them speak, it goes away totally. But like every once in a while, I'll see one and think, wait, which is it? Just real
That's
quick.
That's so funny, because I feel like Oliver Platt has such a distinctive looking face that like it's like, oh yeah, that's Oliver Platt.
And so does Nathan Lane, really. I don't know. There's just something about him. But anyway.
I mean, for me, this is Pedro Pascal all the way, because he's also nominated for Best Actor for The Last of Us. And I don't think he's winning that.
No.
So I need him to win something, because I need to see. I need to see him.
Yeah.
And this episode of SNL, he was gold in every single sketch.
Brandy, I think this episode of SNL may have been the best episode I've seen in 10 years.
Yeah.
Like maybe since I worked on the show and like have fond memories of that specific era. But yeah, that was longer than 10 years ago. Not one sketch missed. Every single thing, every single character, every single performance was next level. This is Pedro's to lose. So he's best. He's favorite. Barenthal and The Bear was great, but I think he'll take home some hardware for season two.
Yeah.
And that crazy episode 6, along with some other people that I expect to be nominated. But yeah, this is Pedro Pascal's, hands down. Best supporting actor in a comedy series. It's getting heated again here. We have Anthony Carrigan as NoHo Hank in Barry. We have Phil Dunster as Jamie Tart from Ted Lasso. Brett Goldstein, Ted Lasso, who's been nominated a bunch. James Marsden from Jury Duty. Fantastic, fun surprise. Eben Moss Backrack for The Bear. Tyler James Williams for Abbott Elementary, and Henry Winkler for Barry. This is incredibly stacked. I loved Anthony Carrigan and I loved Henry Winkler. I think they may do some vote splitting, but I think either one of them winning would not shock me. I'd probably tip it towards NoHo Hank with Anthony Carrigan there. Jamie was my favorite part of this season of Ted Lasso, so I like seeing him nominated. I think that Eben Moss Backrack is probably my favorite performance on this list, but I think his season two performance eclipses his season one, so he'll be back. So I think process of elimination, Tyler James Williams is great in Abbott, but James Marsden was just doing the Lord's work in Jury Duty.
I love Anthony Carrigan, and I think that NoHo Hank is such a great and integral part of Barry. But James Marsden, like he killed it in Jury Duty. And the fact that like, and like, just if we are, this is an award for a performance.
Yes.
And he had to do so much more than anyone else on this list.
Mm-hmm.
Not because like he's so like, you know, it's just like the nature, what Jury Duty is, like that show, he really had to come correct.
He had to be reacting and acting 13 hours a day.
Yeah.
You know, like constant, like really was the linchpin. Like if he plays it wrong, shit blows up and Ronald gets wise. So like he had the most crucial role in that whole experiment, and it was picture perfect. Like, I don't know what he could have done different or better. Yeah, I'm pulling for him. I think that'd be so fucking fun. Also to have them say Amazon freebie at the Emmys. Again, assuming there is a ceremony, there probably won't be, but that would just be so fucking wild.
Yeah.
So that's super fun. And that brings us to best actor in a comedy series. We have Bill Hader for Barry, Martin Short, Only Murders in the Building, Jason Segel, Shrinking, Jason Sudeikis, Ted Lasso, Jeremy Allen White for The Bear. This one's a bit easier for me. I have not gotten into Only Murders. I saw the first season and I thought it was just okay. I got to catch back up. For me, I think it's probably between Bill Hader and Jeremy Allen White.
And I think 100%.
Yeah.
I think Bill Hader takes this.
You think so?
I think so. I mean, I love Jeremy Allen White, I think he did a really good job, and I think that I could definitely see him winning this, but I think it's going to be Bill Hader because the last season of Barry, and I thought he did some really smart things like in the role as it was ending.
I agree. I'm down with that. I think Barry Best, I'm real nervous that Sudeikis will win, and I think he's a fine person, but like his Ted Lasso didn't do fucking anything in this final season. Like he was barely there. I'm shocked a little bit that he's nominated. Jeremy Allen White, though, I actually think I like his performance in season one, maybe a little bit better than season two. I think he was doing more in season one, but maybe it's good. I don't know.
Well, in season one, he's trying to, it's like he's really figuring out kind of what his role is going to be. And in season two, it's established what his role is going to be. And he's kind of got to figure out like more like personal stuff, which isn't as interesting of a journey.
Yeah, I think that's right. So we'll give this one to Bill. That brings us to our final category for comedy, best comedy series. We have Abbott Elementary, ABC, Barry, HBO, The Bear, FX, Jury Duty, Amazon, Freevee, The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel on Prime, Only Murders in the Building on Hulu, Ted Lasso, Apple TV Plus, and Wednesday for Netflix. So we've kind of talked about these as we've been going through. For me, it's going to be between Jury Duty, The Bear, and Barry. Barry was probably the like cinematically, like artistically the best thing. But it's as I'm saying that though, I'm just remembering the Bear review episode, like the one shot, and that and if you look at like the writing and directing categories, that's the episode that they're putting up. For Barry, it's the series finale. Wow. So Ted Lasso is a series finale as well. So you can kind of see like what episodes they're using here. Gosh, it's really tough. That said, though, when we were talking about this offline, you made a really good point about Jury Duty, which I hadn't considered.
I think that Jury Duty A is a real comedy. Like, there's no bones about it. It's hilarious. You're supposed to laugh.
And I think of those three, I laughed the most at Jury Duty. Mm-hmm. So if we're talking about comedy, isn't that the thing, right? I don't know.
Yeah. If we're talking like straight up comedies, the only two contestants in this that have a shot are Jury Duty and Abbott Elementary.
Straight up.
Because those are the ones that I actually laugh at. And I think that Jury Duty was just really unique and like really pulled off something special. And I think that it should be rewarded for that.
Seriously. Like the degree of difficulty there, incredibly high. Incredibly high. I would be fine with any of those three winning. I think I'm going to pull for Jury Duty because who knows if it's going to come back. It certainly won't have the same, you know, lightning in a bottle feel that it did that first season. I don't think it'll be as effective because how could it be? The Bear will be back. The Bear will win for its second season. I can almost see it already. So like they'll be fine. That brings us to our last run of categories here in the drama for drama series. Brandy, do you want to take it away with the first one?
Yeah. So first up, we've got best guest actress in a drama series. So Haim Abbas for Succession, Cherry Jones for Succession, Melanie Lynskey for The Last of Us, Storm Reid for The Last of Us, Anna Torv for The Last of Us, and Harriet Walter for Succession.
There she is again.
I mean, I think that all of the, first of all, let's just mention that HBO wins.
Good job, HBO.
However, great job.
Little weird though, because this is the first category, and I was listening to The Watch, Andy Greenwald and Chris Ryan talk about this, and Chris made a good point that I hadn't considered. You know, some of these acting categories only really have two shows competing. And when you look at the nominations, the performances make sense. But like, if this is supposed to be a celebration of the television landscape, where is the diversity in some of these categories? Like we're picking between two shows. Mm-hmm. How does that showcase the fact that there's more TV than there's ever been? Are we really showcasing all the best performances? Maybe we are. It's an interesting, weird thing to kind of reckon with when you see these categories that are just like, oh, it's two shows and, you know, especially then they're both from one network. Like what are we actually doing here? But that said, a lot of really great friggin' performances here. So it's hard to argue against.
Haim Abbas was Marsha in Succession. Cherry Jones was Nan Pierce in Succession. Melanie Lynskey was the leader of like the Kansas City people.
Was it Kathleen, something like that.
Kathleen, yeah. And she was very scary in The Last of Us. Storm Reid was Ellie's
friend in the mall.
Ellie's friend.
Yeah.
Who she lost. Anna Torv, I think, was Pedro Pascal's partner at the beginning,
Tess.
Right?
Yeah, that was Tess.
Tess, yeah.
Who was awesome. She fucking rocked.
Yeah, she was
rocked.
Great. Yeah. Like, gone too soon, spoiler alert. And Harriet Walter, who was Caroline, the mom of Shiv, Roman, and Kendall. on Succession. I honestly feel like I'm going Harriet Walter for this.
Me too. Like the comment with the face eggs about how she doesn't like eyes.
Yeah.
Just absolutely, like, for that scene and moment alone, she should win. Yeah, I like that. I like her pulling for her as best, and probably like an Anna Torv or Melanie Lynskey is a favorite in the next slot for me.
I'm with that. All right. So best supporting actress in a drama series.
Equally bonkers.
Bonkers. Jennifer Coolidge for The White Lotus. Elizabeth Debicki for The Crown. Megan Fahey for The White Lotus. Sabrina Impacciatore for The White Lotus. Aubrey Plaza for The White Lotus. Simona Tabasco for The White Lotus. Ray Seahorn for Better Call Saul. And J. Smith Cameron for Succession. Let me just say right now that I know that this Better Call Saul run is just that final, what, like seven episodes. So Ray Seahorn wasn't as big of a part of those to be in the best actress category. So I get why she's in best supporting. But like, I really want her to win, you guys. And like, this is such a stacked category.
Yeah.
I honestly can't be mad at anyone who wins, because they all did such a great job. And I'm just I just think that she should be rewarded for the incredible work she did on Saul, and she has not been.
Right. And that scene with her in her, you know, kind of flash forward, I don't want to spoil anything life.
Yeah.
But like the bus scene was just the most gutting thing I've seen in a long time. And she really, really like went out, really, that character, like,
honestly, that scene, she should be winning for that scene alone.
I think so too. Like, we love J. Smith Cameron from Succession.
Love her.
But like, what did she actually do this season? Not a ton. The White Lotus ladies might be splitting votes, specifically, you know, it's hard to bet against Jennifer Coolidge. The people love her. It's, you know, Megan Fahey was the real, for me, the real standout and real spark of that season. If I'm picking any of the White Lotus women here, it's Megan Fahey. I think she's probably a favorite, but my best is Ray Seahorn, and I really hope she wins.
Yeah, I'm with
you.
Yeah. Moving on to best actress in a drama series. We have Sharon Horgan for Bad Sisters, Melanie Lynskey for Yellow Jackets, Elizabeth Moss for The Handmaid's Tale, Bella Ramsey for The Last of Us, Carrie Russell for The Diplomat, and Sarah Snook for Succession. And I just want to call out that Bella Ramsey is indeed nominated for Best Actress, but, you know, they are non-binary and very much pushing for a change to these categories to reflect that. They're nominated for Best Actress, but Bella Ramsey, non-binary.
You know, and it's an interesting discussion, because, you know, it would be a big thing to change how these things are nominated. You could go, you know, just best performance and have, but then do you have an Uber category with 15 people? And then how do you take out the inherent kind of, you know, patriarchal misogyny of like, will a man just win every time? Because the fucking worlds, like, do you do a non-binary category? I was also just thinking this morning, like, or maybe you list Bella Ramsey and Best Actress, but make sure to also put in parentheses they, them. You know what I mean? To at least give some sort of representation to who they actually are and how they identify. So it is tricky. That said, really love seeing Bella Ramsey here. Like, it was a fun surprise.
I know. I think they are the youngest person to be nominated in this category.
That's really fucking cool. That's cool. Yeah. I don't think they have a shot, unfortunately.
Yeah. No, me neither.
Specifically against, well, let's Sarah talk about Snook. These. Sarah Snook. Yeah, but
Sarah Snook, it's locked up.
Yeah.
Locked up.
Pretty locked up. I do have a, let me throw this at you. Melanie Lynskey for Yellow Jackets. I have a question, and
that was a deep sigh.
Why is it not Christina Ricci? Is my question.
Because she's the one who brought it in season two, if that's what we're looking at.
Yeah.
Like, if this was season one, I get it. Melanie Lynskey all the way. But Christina Ricci is who, like, Misty.
Yeah.
Both young and old.
Young and old. Exactly.
If Yellow Jackets is going to get anything, and honestly, for the second season, I'm not sure I think it should be getting anything.
That's fair. Yeah.
Come at me. But but I think for me, this, and I know I really want to see Bad Sisters, and I love Sharon Horgan, and I have no doubt that she did such a great job.
She was very good. I don't think she should win here, but she was great.
Yeah. Elizabeth Moss, we've been there, done that. Can't believe Handmaid's Tale is still on. It's when it's actually reality.
Right.
Keri Russell. I haven't seen The Diplomat. Can't imagine that she wasn't amazing. But Sarah Snook's performance on Succession as Shiv Roy was transcendent.
Yes, transcendent. It is hers to lose.
Yeah.
Best by far and away in my estimation here with Bella Ramsey as my favorite pick, but it's it is Sarah Snook's award, and it better go that way for sure.
And then we got best guest actor in a drama series. Okay. So Murray Bartlett for The Last of Us, James Cromwell for Succession, Lamar Johnson for The Last of Us, Arian Moyed for Succession, Nick Offerman for The Last of Us, and Kevan Montreal Woodard for The Last of Us. Another completely stacked category, another Last of Us versus Succession category.
Right. The Kevan Montreal Woodard is really, really cool to see. Deaf actor playing a deaf role. The role of Sam in the Henry and Sam episode. Probably my favorite episode of the season.
Mm-hmm. So good.
Which is tough because my other favorite episode is the one with Nick Offerman and Murray Bartlett. Episode 3. Yeah. So like, I really don't know what to do here. I think this is the one where actually the Succession guys don't have a shot.
No.
Uncle Ewan and Stewie were both great, but not as great as the four gentlemen from The Last of Us.
The Last of Us performances. Yeah. I'm honestly just going, if any of those win, great.
Job well done. Yeah. It's a job well done. Yeah. I agree.
I don't know how, because I don't know how to choose.
I think it's probably between Nick Offerman, I think, did the most, like his character changed the most of any of those four. So he may have been doing the most kind of, to steal a Jeremy Strong, he may have been doing the most dramaturgically. dramaturgically, it makes sense.
It's true. I can see that.
But that's really, it's hard to place a best and a favorite. I think actually it's probably like, I'll just do it between those two episodes. Episode 3 was the best, but episode 5 was my favorite. So that's kind of how I'm going with the performances.
I agree with that. Okay, let's moving on to best supporting actor in a drama series. We have F. Murray Abraham from The White Lotus.
Here we go again, by the way, guys.
I know. Nicholas Braun, Succession. Michael Imperioli for The White Lotus. Theo James, The White Lotus. Matthew McFadyen, Succession. Alan Ruck, Succession. Will Sharp, The White Lotus. Alexander Skarsgård, Succession. Didn't have any Last of Us supporting actors, I guess.
Right.
I mean, look, this is a great category. I think for me, we can go ahead and take Will Sharp out of the equation. I thought that as Ethan on The White Lotus, it was good, but like his character was also like mildly infuriating.
Yeah, fair point.
I thought that F. Murray Abraham and Michael Imperioli both did great jobs. They were the father and son, lecherous, rich old men.
Yeah, grandfather, father, not the young one.
Oh yeah, not the young one. Sorry, there was a grandfather, father, and then the young son. For me, I love Nicholas Braun in Succession. Cousin Greg is the best, but Tom Wamsgams.
I mean, if you're talking Tom and Greg, it's just one is better than the other, and it's Tom.
Yeah,
it's Tom. Skarsgård was great. Alan Ruck is always so fun and wonderful, but not. He's doing just kind of the same thing.
I would put him in like a guest actor.
Well, let's not be rude. Rude to Cameron. Come on. I mean, this one I think is actually, it's a stacked category, but I think it's actually the easiest decision, almost like his counterpart of Sarah Snook and Best Actress. It's Matthew McFadyen all day long. Like, in fact, I'm surprised he's not nominated in Best Actor. We'll get to that. I think maybe he's even put in supporting, even though he had a lot to do, because it might be an easier path towards the victory. I think it's his to lose.
Mm-hmm. I agree. Then next up, we have got best actor in a drama series. So we've got Jeff Bridges, The Old Man, Brian Cox, Succession, Kieran Culkin, Succession, Bob Odenkirk, Better Call Saul, Pedro Pascal, The Last of Us, and Jeremy Strong in Succession. I would just like to call out number one. Kudos to Brian Cox for being nominated.
Yeah, no spoilers, but in 3 episodes, not even, because that third episode, was he really even acting? 2.5 episodes with some, you know, Yeah, good for you, Brian Cox. I don't know how this happens. This reeks of category fraud to me. He, without spoiling anything, is really the definition of a supporting actor in this final season of Succession. Like, I really don't understand it. Maybe it's just like the gravitas of Logan Roy just carries him into best actor. And they can put themselves up, or the show can put them up in either one. Like, they're really, it's up to the voters to decide whether they're in the right spot or not. So the voters just loved him enough to put him here. But this one, and I know we've been like, this is so hard, this is so hard, this is stacked, this is stacked. This is actually the hardest category for me.
Yeah, this category is actually stacked. Although I will say that there's a couple that, like, for me, I can go ahead and cross off the list. Jeff Bridges. Sorry.
And I watched the first couple episodes and he was very good. That show just really went off the rails and lost me and a lot of other people. Brian Cox, I think we take him off the list too, just because it's fraud. It's fraud. So that's really leaves it between Kieran Culkin, Bob Odenkirk, Pedro Pascal, Jeremy Strong. We mentioned Pedro. He's winning for SNL.
I think you can take Pedro off of this because while I do think he did a really great job, I think that Kieran Culkin, Bob Odenkirk, and Jeremy Strong did more.
Yes, I agree. So it's between those three. It's between those three. So now let's settle the Succession boys between Jeremy and Kieran.
I think we got to go with Kendall Roy on this one, even though, like, Kieran Culkin's, Roman Roy's, like, his, and I'm specifically thinking about, I think it was episode, which, spoiler alert, it's a funeral. Won't tell you who it's for. But the way that Roman starts that episode,
yeah,
the way that Roman ends that episode is a journey.
Yeah.
And, like, it was pretty amazing.
And especially coming off of the previous America Decides episode where Roman was, like, really in his bag and moving and shaking. And again, spoiler alert, but, you know, tipping an American election in his favor in a very, like, gross but incredibly well-acted way. It's like, it's the episode where, like, oh, we've rooted for him this whole time. Wait, were we terribly, terribly mistaken? Is he actually a fucking fascist? Like, what is happening here? And he goes out on a high and then going into that funeral and just absolutely craters. Just absolutely hits rock bottom. And it is such a swing. Whereas Jeremy Strong, like, he fucking is... almost in a class of his own, but was this his strongest season of Succession? I'm not sure that it was. I think season one had a lot of ups. Like, if voters are looking at this as like a totality award, Jeremy Strong gets it. If they're looking at it as a this season of this series award, it might tip towards Kieran. But we also haven't talked about Bob Odenkirk, who I don't think will win tragically. I don't think enough people watch Better Call Saul and aren't as enthusiastic as you and I are, Brandy. We fucking ride hard for that show. He is my favorite in this category. I think Jeremy Strong is probably the best and will probably win. But Bob Odenkirk should win, is my favorite. And God, he played Saul, he played Gene, he played Jimmy. The swings in that character, the growth from where he started to where he finished, even in just this last season, was tremendous and was drastic and was, it makes sense dramaturgically, Brandy. I think it's got to be Bob Odenkirk. I'm sorry.
Listen, Bob Odenkirk needs this award. This should be his. And, like, the Succession guys, like Jeremy Strong, so good. The fact that he turned himself around and had me thinking, like, oh shit, Kendall can run this thing.
Right? Yeah.
He can do it. But Bob Odenkirk, he just had to do so much more. And the fact that we got to see him in this final season slip back into his Saul ways, but also have to, like, you know, like you were just saying, like, he's playing so many different characters. He's having to embody, like, the way that, like, he needs to compartmentalize each personality that he needs to be.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? It just, he's got to win. And I don't think he's won yet.
No, he has not.
Yeah.
He has not won yet for this.
He's got to do it.
He's got to do it.
Yeah. All right. We're at our last category.
Last one. Here we go.
Oh, my gosh. Best drama series. All right. We've got Andor on Disney+. Better Call Saul on AMC. The Crown on Netflix. House of the Dragon, HBO. The Last of Us, HBO. Succession, HBO. The White Lotus, HBO and Yellow Jackets on Showtime.
That last one is a weird one.
Yellow Jacket season 2 shouldn't be on here. And I'll tell you what definitely shouldn't be on here. I think you know, Dan.
Yeah. The House of the Dragon has no place
why?
On this list.
Why?
No place on this list. I mean, I can probably answer why. I mean, you know, another snub that people are talking about is Emma Darcy and some of those actors who played the King Viserys. He was really good. There were some good performances there that weren't recognized. But if you're not recognizing those performances, like, what are we doing recognizing,
why are you
the,
recognizing
show?
The show?
Is it below the line? Is it CGI? Is it all of that stuff? Probably. And will it win several of those awards? Maybe. But I mean, listen.
It's not in the conversation for me.
It wasn't in my top 10 of the year. It certainly shouldn't be in this top 8. This is where Bad Sisters needs to slot in. This is where industry needs to slot in. Like, Yellow Jackets was fun.
I don't think that Yellow Jacket season 2 lived up to season 1. I'm going to come back for season 3, but I'm wary.
Yeah. And I'll be honest, and I fucking love The Crown. Like, it's flirted with Criteria discussion for me in the past, but this season wasn't great. Elizabeth Debicki is the best part of it. She is, as such, you know, nominated, and love seeing it, but that one's a bit of a stretch. Again, a lot of production value. It looks fucking great. It always does. So I don't mind it here at all, but what I love seeing here, we haven't talked about it at all. This is the anti Obi-Wan Kenobi. This is the Andor, actually deserving, truly a top 5 show of last year. Love seeing it here. Where's Diego Luna in acting nominations? Like, there's some wonkiness there that maybe in future seasons can be rectified. But love seeing Andor. I do not think it will win. The Last of Us, I loved. Don't think it will win. It's really between Better Call Saul, Succession, and The White Lotus. We've been talking about them all day. Like, it's those three.
I honestly think that it's just between Better Call Saul and Succession. Because
think so?
I think that The White Lotus will have another bite at this apple.
Yeah, and we'll probably get a lot of acting love.
Yeah.
And maybe writing love. You know, I don't have the writing and directing nominations handy for this one. But if Mike White wins a writing or a directing, I wouldn't be surprised. I won't be surprised if it wins, Brandy, but you're right. I think the argument of it has more chances will lead to Succession and Better Call Saul being the 1 and 2 here, because it is the final season of both.
And I also, for me, White Lotus, this season set in Italy, I thought was absolutely amazing. And I loved it. But for me, that show is like, it's just like so entertaining. It's entertaining and it's beautiful to watch. Better Call Saul and Succession, like, I'm tuning in because I'm invested in the characters. I'm invested in the plot. White Lotus, like, was I invested in the characters? I wanted to see what was going to happen. You know what I mean? But really the only one that, like, I truly was rooting for is Jennifer Coolidge. And we know what happens there. So for me, I think it's between Better Call Saul and Succession. And honestly, it's such a tough call.
It's tough. Because
they were both absolutely on fire.
They were
every episode.
So yeah, and I think the best, it's tough because I don't know which is best. I honestly don't, and I don't know which one I liked more and which one is a I probably favorite Better Call Saul more than Succession. But it's really close. I think Succession's gonna win. I think Succession will win, and I'm gonna be sad for Better Call Saul, but overall be okay with it because it was fucking all-star television. Like, how you can't be mad at it. You simply can't, even if you'd prefer one over the other. But I think that's how it's gonna go down.
I think, like, marketing optics are telling me that Succession is gonna win.
I mean, clearly AMC doesn't have the dollars that HBO does, so
look, I know who, as a voting member of the Academy, I know who I'm casting my vote for.
That brings us to the end here, Brandy. That's the list. I can't believe all the incredible TV we just got to talk about. Again, though, I do want to reiterate, will we see these things play out at an actual ceremony? Probably not. You know, these strikes will be going on for a while. I think the sides are very, very far apart. We will see how that affects the future of TV. We'll see how that affects next year's awards with what gets held back, what gets postponed, what is able to finish, what's already in the can. Like, next year, it's going to be very interesting rocky road for new releases and returning shows. Who knows what we're going to get? It certainly won't be at the same frequency or just pure amount that we've gotten the last couple of years. So that'll be an adjustment. Maybe some things can rise to the top that have gotten ignored. I don't know. All bets are off going forward.
I really don't want them to be striking, and I don't want them to be striking that, like, I'm so it's upsetting that they had to strike because their demands aren't insane.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that's what I mean when I say that, like, I'm mad that they have to strike.
It's a shame that it had to come to this because the studios are so shitty. Yeah.
The only silver lining that I'm seeing is that maybe now we can get a little bit of a reprieve to catch up on shows that we haven't seen yet. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. Because there has been so much, like, we needed a stop down for a second so that we can kind of get through some of the hundreds of shows that are out there.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, that leads me to think, you know, not a bad time, listeners, if you made it this far, to maybe dive back into the TV BFFs catalog, rediscover some shows that aren't constantly in the new what's on, gotta keep pace, gotta catch up. Let's look back. Like, what are your all-time favorites? What's in your pantheon? What are your best, your favorite, your forever shows? So explore the catalog. We got a bunch of episodes up. Our last two actually detail our best and favorites of last year and then the first half of this year, which is exactly the shows we've been talking about. Succession, Last of Us, Better Call Saul, The Bear, all of these Bear, like, we talked about them all in the last couple episodes with Christian Banda and then with Darren Karp. So now's the time. There's going to be a slowdown. Now's the time to catch up. Now's the time to rediscover or discover some shows that you may have missed. And until next time, bye, friends.
Bye, friends.
You've arrived here.